I've enjoyed the song service this morning, and I appreciate Brother Joe's prayer for us this morning. Get started. I have a subject on my mind I want to talk to you about. It's an incident that happened in the Bible, primarily from the 10th chapter of Book of Luke. We have a situation happen here, and I think it's important that we, it gives us a good message, it's important that we look at what took place and what the Lord is telling for us here, who he was talking to, and exactly the context of what he was saying. Luke 10, beginning in the first of Luke 10, gets over into this a little bit of this incident, and then the last part of this is repeated in Matthew chapter 11. I want to start in Luke 10 because it gives us more details on the front end of this. And then Matthew 11, Jesus gives us some other things at the end of this incident. And I think the two tie together real well to give us a good picture of our salvation. Luke chapter 10, Jesus has already named his apostles and got those 12 named. But then he wants to start sending out the gospel to be preached around Judea. And so he appoints 70 more preachers. And that's what he's done beginning in Luke 10. He names 70 preachers and sends them out over Judea to preach the gospel. Chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70, appointed 70 more, 70 also, and sent them two by two, sent them out two at a time to go out and preach. Two at two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, now this is, he gave them kind of a commission. He gave them their orders, marching orders, instructions, a charge, if you would. And we've seen this talked about before when we said it in West Texas, because we're sometimes when we seem to run short of ministries, it's one thing we address. Jesus said, the harvest truly is great. There's a lot of people out there who need to hear the gospel. Harvest is great. There's a lot of people out there that we need to go out and preach to. But the laborers are few. We don't have enough preachers to preach to all the children of God out there. Harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. We ought to pray that for the ministry, and we all, I can tell you, anybody that's been up here in the stand knows you need people praying for you. So let's pray that we have ministers to go out and preach to the Lord's people. Verse 3, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. You go out and you'll be a lamb. There's lots of false prophets out there, and there's a lot of people that will attack you. But he said, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man in thy way. This is the way the ministries go. You don't go worrying about whether you get paid or get any money or anything about it. Don't worry about how you clothe. Your primary job is to go out and preach the gospel and let the Lord take care of the rest. And he goes on and gives them a number of instructions, but I'll go down to verse 9 as he's kind of instructing them. Verse 9, he says, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. He gives them the power to heal the sick, gives them some of these, what we call miraculous powers that he gave the early apostles. He's given it also these 70 to go out and heal the sick. Now, you know, this is one of those commissions that you hear every now and then that the ministry doesn't have today. We don't have the exact, we're to go preach the gospel, but he's never given me the ability to heal anybody. Heal the sick or walk on, we'll talk about it a little later, handle snakes or walk on serpents. He did give a commission to these, though, to go out, because in that time, the miracles that they were able to perform helped persuade people that they truly were of God. Anyway, they go out and preach. These 70, he gives them the instructions in that first part of chapter 10, and they go out and preach the gospel, and then they all come back to him. And that's where I want to pick up here, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy. They said, Lord, the preaching's been good. You blessed us well, and we've gone out, and we've done good. We've done really good. He said, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. We've been able to heal people. We've been able to, like you say, lay hands on people and pray about them as long as we do it in your name. You give the Lord the glory for the healing, always. Even when we pray now for those we talked about, we'd like to have healed, if it's the Lord's will, heal the people. We do it in his name. None of us, hopefully none of us in here claim we have the ability to heal on our own. But they were excited. They were full of joy because they had gone back and they had felt they had done good. It's a lot like we've talked about in the ministry. When we get up here, and you know, it's a good feeling when you feel like you've had liberty and you preach. It's not so good when you don't. But you don't ever judge that because you never know. I've preached terrible at times and had somebody come up and tell me and say, "You really touched me today." I mean, boy, it wasn't me. It wasn't me that did that. But they felt good. They came back and let the Lord know, "You sent us on this mission and we did well and we're excited. And we were even when we healed, the devil, the demons in people were subject to us. We were able to actually heal people." And 18, and Jesus said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." He's kind of lowering him down here. He's taking him. He says, "Be careful now, because Satan got his ego up and fell from heaven." If you go over, and I won't go there today, and I think I spoke on this several months ago, about Satan and where Satan came from. If you go read the, I believe it's the 12th chapter of Revelations, verses about 7 through 9, it talks about Michael had to, the Lord sent Michael to kick Satan out of heaven. And he fell from heaven and was cast down to the earth, those and all Satan's angels that went with him. And that's what he's referring to here. I saw Satan cast out of heaven down to earth. He's down here on earth now, and he's getting in these people that you've been healing. That's what that reference is talking about. I saw it. He said, first of all, I was in heaven. I was part of the Godhead, and I saw when Satan was cast out by Michael the archangel at the direction of the Lord, and he was cast down to here on earth. He was one of the angels, and he was cast down here on earth, and he's been causing trouble since, and he's been in all these people, but we're in control of him. And that's why you had the ability to cast out these devils. Verse 19, he says, "And behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Again, he gave this commission to his apostles and to these 70 to go out and preach. When they're preaching and doing his work, they can't be hurt. They can handle snakes and scorpions. They could drink poison, as they say, heal all manner of problems, and nothing can stop them or slow them down. Now, we know a lot of churches will say that commission continues today, and that's why they get into such things as snake handlers and drinking poison, or as we say today, drinking the Kool-Aid. Y'all are familiar with that incident that took place a number of years ago where people drank Kool-Aid and it didn't save them. They weren't, clearly didn't have the commission. So the commission that he gave them to do these miraculous powers doesn't exist anymore, regardless of what you may hear on TV every now and then about some of these ministers who claim that they have that same commission. Anyway, he said, "I'm giving you this power to do all these things." And they came back and were rejoicing. Now look at verse 20. "Notwithstanding in this," in other words, "but," he's put a big but here. "I know you've enjoyed this and you've done good and you've had this power and you've come back and you've greatly rejoiced." He said, "But notwithstanding in this, rejoice not." Don't be so happy, but "rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." That's our primary joy in life, is to know that our names are written in heaven. He gave them great powers here on the earth, and they went out and used those powers for the benefit of the Lord's people. And they came back and were great joy and were excited that, hey, even the devil's responsive to us and we tell him to get out. He said, "That's great, and I give you that power, but don't rejoice in that. There's something better. That something better is that your name is written in heaven." This is what we refer to as being your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We know that book was written before the foundation of the world, and your name was written in it. It was written in it in ink. Probably engraved. You can't take a name out. You can't add a name to it. That book was sealed and closed and won't be opened until the end of time. Your name is either in it or it's not. And I don't judge who is in it and who's not in it, but the fact that all of you are here tells me every one of your names is in that book, because you have an interest in being here and learning more about it. Verse 21 says, "And in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said," this is his prayer to the Lord. After telling these people what he did, these apostles and his disciples, these 70 of his preachers, he then goes to the Lord in prayer and he rejoices and says, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and of earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. He said, Father, I thank you that you have taken this great truth and you've revealed it to your people that are humble and maybe weak, maybe not a power of the world as we'd like to think of. And then you have hidden it from the wise and the prudent. Your names are already written in heaven, and that's what he's telling you. Your names are written in heaven, and that's primarily what you need to rejoice in, the fact that your name is already there. Because of that, we have great security in coming here in church and knowing what's going on. I feel good. I don't have a spirit of fear. But you have all these other maybe preachers throughout the world who try to scare you. You got to go do something. They'll scare you and take away from that security he gives you and telling you, you got to go do these things. Your name is not already written in heaven. You got to somehow do something to get it written there. He said, Father, I thank you that you've hidden this from the wise and prudent and revealed it unto babes. And we should all be very thankful that we're among those that it's been revealed to. And he goes on here and he said, verse 22, all things are delivered to me of my Father. All things of any good at all have been given to me by God the Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is. No man knows Christ. And we got a lot of people who will try to teach us that they need to teach us who Christ is. And we know, the Hebrews, that I know some of the gentlemen reading this morning in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, it talks about we're not to teach every man to know the Lord. The Lord, that's up to him to put himself in our heart. And that's what Jesus is telling us here. No man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father. And who the Father is, but the Son. Now, wait a minute. Boy, you talk about a closed membership in the club. No man knows the Father but me, and no man knows me but the Father. He's got it closed off. How do the rest of us know him at all? How do the rest of us know any of them? Well, I'm not finished yet. He has a comma there. He said, no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and no man knows who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. You know Jesus, the Son, and you know God the Father because Jesus has put it in your heart. He's put it in your heart and he's revealed it to you. And this is what he's telling here to his disciples, what he's praying to the Lord. And look at verse 23. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately. Now he's got his 70 people there, but he's turning back to maybe some of those 70s were included among his disciples and his apostles, and said to them privately. He's talking only to those people whose names are written in heaven, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's who he was talking to previously. And he turns and says to them privately, in a lot like this group would be. We're here privately. This is not saying to the world, and that's what he's telling us. I'm not telling this to everybody. I'm telling this to my disciples, and I'm telling it to them privately. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. Blessed are your eyes when you see this. When the Lord has revealed this to you, you're blessed. When you read this book and you see the doctrine of grace that the Lord has already saved you, your name is already in the Lamb's Book of Life, you should consider yourself blessed. And that's really something to rejoice in. And that's what the Lord is telling us. You do a lot of good things here, and we'll bless you a lot of things in this world. But the real blessings and what you need to rejoice in is the fact that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's written there. It's sealed. It's closed. Can't be taken out no matter what happens. It's there. And that's good news. And that's what you should rejoice in. And there's great peace and security in that. I don't come to church worrying about whether my mother and dad are in heaven or whether my kids are in heaven or whether I am. And I'm not coming here ever to scare you and to tell you you got to do something to get to heaven. The Lord's already taken care of that. I'm absolutely convinced not a single one of us would be here this morning if our names weren't written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's not my call, and I don't know. But the Lord tells us that you wouldn't be here and have this interest if your name wasn't already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's what he's telling us here. And he said, and blessed are your eyes, the fact that you see that. It's revealed to you. This is what the Lord tells us here, especially in our doctrine, in our church. He's revealed this to us. There's a lot of people that are going to heaven. We're told in places there's people that never hear the gospel preached. They're going to be in heaven. But blessed especially are those of us who He's revealed that to and shown that to us, that our eternal salvation is secure. Verse 24, "For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things that you see." There's been a lot of people that wish they understood the mysteries of the gospel the way He's now revealed it to us. He's given us insight that the kings and the prophets never had. "I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear these things which ye hear and have not heard them." We know we hear it talked about every now and then, the great mysteries of the gospel. It's not nearly as mysterious to us as it was to those prophets of old, of Abraham and Isaac and Elijah and Elisha and Samuel. They knew the Lord was great, and they knew He had something, salvation in store for him, but they didn't know what we know. We have a greater relationship with the Lord than they did by the virtue of knowledge. Now, they had great relationships with the Lord, not any greater standing than you did. Maybe they were greater men of history. They didn't have any greater standing with the Lord, anybody, neither man nor woman nor child. Nobody has greater standing. We're all equal in the eyes of the Lord. We're all His children. Now, historically, He may give some of them some leadership ability, but especially it's what He's wanting to tell us here. Your names are written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you know it. Now, that's what you should rejoice in. You have a great blessing that a lot of them don't have, because not only do you have eternal salvation secured, but you know it. You know it, and you should thank God not only for the fact that your name is in that Lamb's Book of Life, but that He's given you insight of that. I'm going to go quickly over here to Ephesians, and just because I want to point out what the Apostle Paul is telling us about this same thing. First chapter of Ephesians, I want to skip through some of this, but Apostle Paul, great, wonderful things in Ephesians that we could preach on about predestination, and that's how it started. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. We should be holy and without blame. That's verse 4. Verse 5, having predestinated us. Apostle Paul gives us that summary. Our eternal salvation is based on predestination, which He decided before the foundation of the world. Verse 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He's given us wisdom and prudence. Verse 9, here's one good. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. He did all the work. He purposed it Himself. He's done all the work, but He's made known to us His mystery. It's what we have in the gospel. I'm not here to save you. That's not my job at all. My job, hopefully, is to open up and let you see the mystery. That's what He's given us the ability to do. See the mystery of His will that they didn't have in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they knew it and they had faith, and they had to live on faith that our salvation is going to be taken care of by the Lord. But He's telling us here in detail, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's written in there before the foundation of the world. We got so much detail in the New Testament, and that's what Paul's telling us. And it was a mystery to the old people back in the Old Testament, but not to you. Especially this room full of Gentiles. In the Old Testament, we didn't even know we had any hope. We didn't have the same hope that the Jewish people did, and they didn't take advantage of it. He said, now it's extended to the Gentiles, and I'm giving you better insight than I gave to the Jewish people. That's what He's telling us. Ephesians in the first chapter talks about the mystery of His will. If you skip over here at the end of the first chapter, but verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He has come directly to you and put it in your heart, the knowledge of Him. And that's what you ought to be rejoicing in. And if He's done that, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you feel like I know Him or I need to know Him, I want to come to church and I want to learn more about Him, that means He's already inside you. And that tells you, my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have great faith and great hope it is, because I'm following His instructions, and that's what I need to take joy in. I don't really take joy as much in my actual salvation. That's taken care of. I didn't have anything to do with that. But I am thankful that He has revealed that to me, and I can see that, and I can understand that what He's given me. One more verse here. Ephesians chapter 3. Again, same thing. It's just what the Apostle Paul telling us. Verse 3, how by revelation he has made known to me the mystery. As I wrote afore in a few words, I wrote just back to you two chapters ago about the mystery has been revealed to me and to you, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. If the Lord's blessed me right in writing this, and we know he was inspired, and when you read it, you're blessed when you can read it and understand the mystery he's talking about, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Spirit puts himself in your heart and tells you, you're a child of God. Your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we need to thank you not only for that, that our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, but thank you for telling me, Lord. You know, I know my children love me. Boy, it helps when they tell me. Not only is he taking care of us, I'm letting you know that I take care of you. And there's great joy and rejoicing that we have in that. He said, that you read and understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not known, but is now revealed to you, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in the Christ by gospel. Oh, Gentiles. You know, if I look in the Old Testament, I'm going, well, I'm not a Jew. That's not for me. But he's telling you, you Gentiles are included now. And not only are you included, he's told you that, and you need to know that and have rejoice in that. I want to stop here a second now and talk a little bit about the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, we talk about that. We said your names are written in heaven, and we know that's the Lamb's Book of Life. We don't always talk about that specifically. But go with me to Philippians. Philippians, for those of you who have your Bible, the Philippians chapter 4. Chapter 4 beginning in verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellows, help those women. Apostle Paul saying, pray for these people that are helping me and helping spread the gospel. I entreat you also, true yoke fellows, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, and with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Apostle Paul doesn't know who's in the book of life, but he can tell by looking, yeah, these other people, their names are there. I can tell by looking at them because it's been put in their heart that it's there. He tells us about what's the effect of that. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful by nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thank the Lord, not only for your eternal salvation, but thank you for telling me about it. Thanksgiving. Let your request be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. If you know this, you know your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you know it, that he's revealed it to you, boy, there's great peace in that. I don't have to worry about whether me, I got to go do something, or my kids, or my parents, or my friends, or some of y'all that I love. I don't have to worry about whether you're going to heaven or not. The Lord's already said, that's not my problem, it's his, and I can tell by looking at these people. Every one of his name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. How many people go to church this morning because they're afraid not to? Because they're afraid if they don't do this, or if I'm not watching TV, if I don't send in my seed money and get my pay money, and if I don't do this, I'm going to miss out on heaven. For some particular thing, I've got to accept, I've got to repent, I've got to confess, I've got to be baptized, I've got to join the church, I've got to feed the poor, I've got to do all those things. If I don't do them, I'm not going to be in heaven. We'll see in a minute that we're supposed to do those things, but your eternal salvation is not based on that. The Lord has taken care of you, and he's told you, I'm taking care of you. You know how good it is when you got a problem going on, you know, and I don't know what to do, and I'm worried about it, and I'm saying, boy, if I just had another $500, it would be a lot of help. And your father or your brother or somebody comes along and says, I deposited $500 in your account last week. You didn't know it was there till I told you. But it not only, I'm glad you did it, thank you. And not only that, thank you for telling me. And boy, suddenly there's just that burden on my heart's gone. Well, that's what he's doing here. You don't have to worry like a lot of people in this world that are worried about their salvation. They're living off that doctrine of fear. Go to 2 Timothy, and you all have heard this one. 2 Timothy, Apostle Paul tells us in chapter 1, wherefore I put ye in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. He doesn't want you to worry about your salvation. He hadn't put fear in your heart. Fear, if you got fear in your heart, it's because man's put it there. If you got any worry about whether you're going to heaven or your family is or your daughters and sons and your parents and your cousins and your good friends, if you got any fear about whether they're going to heaven, man has put it there, not God. Because if you know and understand God's word, he's given you the doctrine of not a spirit of fear, but of the doctrine of power and of love and of a sound mind. Of power. I'm going to take care of this, and I could do it when no man can do it. I've done what no man can do. God is sovereign and he's powerful. He's taken care of this when nobody else could. Doctrine of power and of love. I've done this. I love you. And we read over there in the 10th chapter of Mark where this young man heard the gospel preached to him and by Jesus himself, and he said, go sell all you have and give it to the poor. And the man said, I can't do that. I got money and I love my money and I don't want to get rid of it. And he turned and walked away, turned his back on Christ and walked away. And it says, and yet Jesus loved him. Sometimes even when we reject him, he still loves us. He has unconditional love. A lot like, you know, we can think that about our kids. I love my kids. I get mad at them and they create problems for me and they give me headaches, but I still love them. And I'll be there if they need me. I'll try to take care of them. They reject me sometimes, and well, there's the same way all kids will from time to time, and that's what we do to the Lord, and yet he loves us. And if we and thank goodness he's told us that. He's given us a doctrine of power and of love and of a sound mind. Great security in that, in knowing that. Again, you don't have to fear. And he goes on here and says, but be thou therefore not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest. It happened before the world began. Now I'm telling you. I'm telling you to give you this power and love, feeling of power and love and of sound mind and security. Now made manifest how? By the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He gave it to you before the foundation of the world. He's telling us now, 4,000 years later. He's telling us. And he's telling us the people in the Old Testament had to have it by faith. I'm laying it out for you guys in black and white. I'm putting it in your hearts. Not only do you have eternal salvation secure, I'm telling you about it so that you can see what's taking place here. A little bit more about the Lamb's Book of Life, because I'm asked about it from time to time, and I want to cover it briefly. Revelation chapter 5 is the first time it's talked about other than when it's referenced over there in the Old Testament. John, who by revelation of Christ, revelation of Jesus, and on Revelations, again, people get hung up in Revelations that we're talking about the millennium and all that kind of thing. If you read in the very first verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, things which must shortly come to pass. Revelations was not intended to be written for ages. It was intended to shortly come to pass. Most of it, in my opinion, took place before the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. But he was revealing to him. Christ revealed to John to write this book about himself. Chapter 5 of this book, he talks about the sealed book, and he said, John, speaking of the vision given to him, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, that's God, on the right hand of God was a book written within and on the backside and sealed with seven seals. This is the Lamb's Book of Life we're leading up to. And I saw a strong angel, angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open that book and to loose the seals thereof? Is there anybody that can open this book, this great book that's sitting there next to the God on the throne? He said, no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. We don't have anybody that can open that book that's sealed. And I wept, I cried, because no man was found worthy to open and read on the book, neither to even look on it. Verse 5, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. The Lion of Judah, descendant of David, is Christ. He's talking about, there is one now. Wait, but there is one that can open that book. In verse 6, he tells us, and there in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. Again, reference to Christ, who died on the cross for us. Verse 7, and he came up and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Jesus went over and took that book out of God's hand. And it says, and when he had taken the book, the beast and the 20 elders, and that's references to earlier in this chapter, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, and they worshipped him. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of thy hand, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Who's going to heaven? Whose name's in that book? Some out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. Are there actually Muslims in that book? Sounds to me like there probably are. Muslims, blacks, whites, browns, Hindus, Christians. There's a lot of people in that book, a lot of people who never hear the gospel preached. It may not be all revealed to them early. We should be thankful it's been revealed to us that our names are there. We ought to thank God for that every day. Not only that our names are there, but Lord, thank you for telling me. Boy, that relieves, it's a great relief from my heart for him to tell me that. Go to chapter 6, first verse only. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard it as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, and he goes here and he talks about, and I'm not going to go into that, but the Lord breaks, Jesus Christ breaks those seven seals. This is what's taking place at the end of time that he's telling us about here. Let me go to Revelation chapter 20. We'll get over this real quick. Revelation chapter 20, if I can find my spot here. Yeah, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, again, that's God, in whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. I saw the dead. John, again, in his vision that the Lord's given him. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Now, books is plural, okay? More than one books. And I think we're going to see this is the books on our works. If I've done good or if I've done bad, there's an account there on all the good things I've done and all the bad things I've done. A list of them. There's not going to be many on the good side. I can tell you, on my book's going to be balanced. He said, then the books were opened, and then he says, and then there's another book that was opened. The books were opened, and then another book was opened, which is the book of life. So there's one book, a book of life. Then there's all these other books that are accounts of our good, righteous works and our bad, right works. It's two sets of books. Multiple books, you know, it's plural. But then there's one that identifies as the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. That's referring to those first set of books. Everybody was judged out of those books according to their works. They're judged. Again, remember, two sets here. There's a set of books that people are judged according to their works. And then there's the book of life. Different book. And he's identifying both of them. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. This is on the last day of the earth. Sea gave up the dead which were in it, all those that buried at sea. The death and death and hell delivered up the dead. Now, death and hell, that's referred to as the grave. That's what they're talking about. Hell many times is referred to. There's three hells. You can have a hell here on earth, and it seems like I go through it many times every day. And then there's a hell that's referred to as death, and then there's the eternal lake of fire hell. This is when he's talking about the grave here. The grave gave up their dead, which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. You got to read this carefully. They're being judged out of those books that account is kept of all your works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. But let's read verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the fire, lake of fire. Again, you know, we talk about heaven and hell. When heaven is identified, it's identified as it's more people there than the sands by the seashore or the stars in the heaven. You can't count them. You can't count how many people are going to be in heaven that are in that book of life. More than the sands by the seashore, more than the stars. When we talk about hell, it's always a lake of fire. It's maybe a good size, but it's a lake. It's limited. We can put our minds around that. Can't put my minds around stars in the heaven or sands by the seashore. Heaven's a whole lot bigger, but yeah, there is a lake of fire, and there's a hell, and those people that are going to it, if your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, then they're going to go judge you according to your works. I don't want to be on that list. Thank goodness I'm not. But if you're here today, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're not going to be judged out of those other books. where it wouldn't look so good, you're going to be, you're not judged at all, because you're in that Lamb's and Lamb's book of life. You're not judged at all, and you're not cast into the lake of fire that he talks about here. Go over to chapter, we'll get one more verse here, and then I want to go back to where we were. Chapter 21. Let me find five verses. We start with verse 22. Again, this is Paul's vision, and I'm skipping here, and I hope I don't lose you for that, but I want to conserve my time. And I saw no temple therein, and he's talking about the New Jerusalem. This chapter starts out, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. He's talking about heaven now. Our earth here is gone. Now, he said, I'm looking into heaven now, and he sees a new heaven and a new Jerusalem. And he says, in there I saw, in verse 22, I saw no temple therein, for Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. God and Christ are the temple. And the city had no need of the sun. There's no sun in our new Jerusalem. Neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved. It's present tense. Which are saved. Now, that's us. Thank goodness he's told us that, and he's revealed it to us. These that are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor it, and the gates of it shall not be shut all the day, and there shall be no night therein. And they shall bring the glory and honor of nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that is defiled, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Your name's in that Lamb book of life. You're going to be there. And that's what we're told back over there in Luke. It's what Jesus was telling those people in Luke. You're my disciples. Your name's already written there. Your name's already written in that. Let's go back there to Luke real quick now, and I want to wrap up. I want to go to Matthew in a minute, but let's go back to Luke and see where we were. Luke chapter 10. When again, remember, they went out preaching. Let's get a refresher where we were. They went out preaching and came back and said, Lord, we're having a great time here. The preaching's going good. And boy, we're kicking out devils. We're kicking them and Satan out of everybody. And he goes, that's great. And your work here is good. But rejoice that your name is in the Lamb's book of life. And he goes on and says, not only that, rejoice that he's told you that. We need to thank him every day for that. If we thank him that, the fact that not only he's put our names in the Lamb's book of life, but that he's told us about it, we're not going to have any hard time doing good works. If we will learn that and appreciate that and give him thanksgiving, we're not going to have any difficulty with that. And that's when he goes on and says, thank you, Lord, that you've hid these from the wise and prudent, revealed them unto babes. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth but who is the Son is, no one who knew the Father is. And he tells these things privately to those of his people whose names are in the Lamb's book of life. Now go back with me to Matthew, and this same story doesn't give us the first part of the story, but the same place. If you go to Matthew chapter 11, beginning verse 25, and this is where we pick up on the back end of this. Verse 25, and at that time Jesus answered and said, Lord, I thank you, O Father of heaven and earth, because these things are hidden from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto the babes. Why? Even so, Father, for it was good in your sight. I don't understand God, and I don't understand why he wants to take care of people who reject him, like me, and we go out and sin. But he tells us he has unconditional love for us, and we should thank him for that. And he says the same thing. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to him whomsoever the Son will reveal it. We got a closed cup here. Nobody knows me except him, and nobody knows him except me, and those to whom I reveal it. That's how you know God. I can't go out and teach you to know God. I can't even teach you to know my brothers or my father. I can tell you what they look like, and whatever, but I can't teach you to know someone. We live with our spouses for a long period of time, and we don't feel like we ever really get to know them, especially us men of our wives. You don't ever get to know anybody. But Jesus will teach you to know the God. He will put it in your heart. And if you know him, and you're here this morning, I believe, because of that reason, you know him and you have a feel to be here. That means your name is in the Lamb's book of life, and he's told you that. That's what he's telling us here. And that's what he's telling us to rejoice in. Now, who's he talking to? Remember, he's talking privately to you, to his disciples, to his apostles, to people whose names are in the Lamb's book of life. That's just talking to people whose eternal salvation is secure. I've told you that. Be proud of it and rejoice in that. Now let's look what he closes out here and says. Verse 28. Now, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This verse is used by what we refer to as the Arminians who believe in salvation by works. You got to do something. Now, the Lord said, you got to come unto me for your eternal salvation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is not to the unsaved, Christ trying to get them into him so he can be saved them. Jesus is talking to people whose names are already in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's talking to you who know your salvation is complete. Your place in heaven is secure. Now, he's saying to you, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's talking about those of us that are children of God that are living in this God-forsaken world. We have one of us who got pains and problems we have to deal with every day, with our family, with our friends, with our work. You may have all sorts of issues, financial issues, addiction issues, problems, family issues. All these that we live with every day that burdens our minds and our hearts that we don't like to talk about. If you don't have problems, then you haven't lived long enough yet. Everybody's got these problems. And he said, now, I'm talking to my children, God. Eternal life is set and secure, and you know it. That's who I'm talking to. I'm not talking about coming to me for an eternal salvation. Come to me for rest. This is where your works come in. Come to church. Read your Bible. Go to Him in prayer. Do those things you know to do. Feed the poor, sick, accept, get yourself baptized. All those things are good works that are going to give you rest. It's going to help that security here. Because the more that you do, the more He will reveal to you that you are a child of God. Your name is in that Lamb's Book of Life, and you're in heaven. The fact that you're doing those things tells me it's already there. And He's telling you that, and you'll know it, and it gets secure. Then that's the doctrine of power and of love and a sound mind that's in your heart. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Come to church and do your role in the church. Take that burden on you, that yoke. I shouldn't have said burden. He said it's yoke. Put that yoke on. Put that, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm a hard shell Baptist. I'm a primitive Baptist. I want to go to church and worship the Lord for what He's done for me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Study your Bible and read it. Pray to Him. Ask for revelation about Him. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Once you go to work for the Lord, you realize it's not a burden. You know, I had no desire ever to be a preacher. None whatsoever. I had no business being up here, and still don't feel I do most times. But when the Lord blesses you, it's easy. Easy to preach when the Lord blesses you. It's easy to study when the Lord blesses you. Take His yoke and put it on you, and His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Y'all have been kind with your attention. Thank you.